Hello, and welcome back to the Equipped Man Podcast, a podcast where we explore what it means to be a man of God in the 21st century. I'm your host, Luke Wance. And with me again, I've got John Flagger. How's it going?
I'm doing quite well. Glad to have my opportunity again here in this wonderful place with you.
Yes, and I appreciate it. First off, I'm going to mention to the audience, yes, I know it's been a while since our last episode. Some summer fun and life has happened, so I took a break letting some of that happen, but I'm committing. I'm going to do my best to at least to put something out every week. Even if it's just something like a 10-minute episode, sharing from my heart, sharing from my gut, I will put something out. And John, you can help keep me accountable in all of that. And any of my listeners, you are free to keep me accountable and kick my chair, because this is a commitment that I want to make to myself and to all of you. So that being said, you well?
So well. Glad to hear you're committed.
Yes, I'm trying.
Awesome. Committed. I'm going to kick that chair more often than not. We're going to keep it simple.
Yes, we will. And speaking of which, that is something I want to talk about today, because it's kind of been on my heart of simplicity, the keep it simple. I know sometimes it's the kiss, the keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
I know, not always fan of that last word, but you know what? It works for what we're talking about. You know, just to keep it simple, because I know it's in life, there's a lot of things that just get complicated. You know, whether it seems complicated or whether we make it complicated, you know, there's a lot out there. But especially Christianity, especially this walk that we get to go on with the Lord, it's a lot simpler than I think we make it, you know. And, you know, like one of the things I wanted, you know, kind of was hitting me was, how easy is it to become a Christian? You know, you say a prayer, if
you believe it.
You believe it.
And you commit.
Yeah, and you're a Christian. You know, that's really it.
Yep, you know, there's the ABCs of it. It's simple.
Yeah. So it's just, it's like, how do we A, remember that, and then B, incorporate that into our daily lives?
Well, that's a good question for sure. I think we so often make it complicated because we think we have to do something to become a son or a daughter or anything in the kingdom, and that's not the case. You know, Christ did it all, and he said, if you'll trust in me and believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. John 3:16.
Yeah.
You know, whoever believes in him have eternal life. We keep it simple. And the ABCs, you know, we should make that our goal, but we make it complicated.
Yes, we do. Yeah, I'm really good. And John, you know me. I am very, very talented at overthinking.
Join the club. I am the absolute president of this.
Like back in that, you know, I'm not just a member, I'm the president.
for sure.
Yeah. You know, but again, it starts with that simplicity. It starts with those basics, those fundamentals. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's, you know, it's like going through math classes in elementary school. You know, it's like, first you have to learn your numbers. Then you learn addition, subtraction. Then you learn multiplication and division. And then you learn, you know, algebra, and then the more
always
abstract
in
and
your knowledge, correct?
You are, you know, but again, it goes back to know your numbers. Is this a number? Yes or no? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's what it is. So often that's what it is with God, you know, with Christianity, with walking this out. It's this is a thing of God. This is not, you know, and it is. It's that becoming a Christian is simple. It's the recommitment every day to stay the course. That's where, again, it's simple, but that's where it's that commitment. It's that. That's where we try to get it complicated, and not just us, but religion. There are so many different, you know, because I don't want to just say religion did it. But, you know, me being from a Catholic background, you from Assemblies of God and Jehovah's Witness background, it's like these different sects, if you will say, well, to be a Christian, these are the rules you need to follow. You know, to be a Christian, these are the rules you need to follow. You know, some Christians don't like electricity. Some Christians yes. stay away from alcohol. You know, and it's, you know, all these crazy things that aren't in the Bible.
Very true.
That they say, well, these are the things you have to do to continue that commitment to God. And it's like, no, we don't. It's not that complicated.
For sure it's not. And that's very true that we've added a lot of things, I think, contextually, you know, to the word. And the scripture says don't add anything to it, don't take anything away from it. And at the same time, we take little excerpts, you know, as we talked about, you know, Jesus said one time, be born again, or you must be born again. And we've yeah. taken that and made it this huge, you know, drawn out thing that, you know, if you're born again, but you have to do this like repeatedly, it's like baptism. You know, people say, well, you got to be water baptized or you can't make heaven. Well, explain the man on the cross.
Yeah.
That, you know, Jesus said, you're going to be with me in paradise. You know, he wasn't baptized. I guess he missed that step. So simplicity is relationship. It's knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that he paid the price, knowing that he loves you and that he has done it all. He's, you know, there ain't a thing you can do to make heaven. There's not a thing you can do to enter into the kingdom of God. No matter what your mentality is, whether you think you got to live in this world of hell, if that's the way you want to look at it, and yeah. then hopefully someday you die and that you make heaven. But I don't believe that necessarily it's that. We're going to make heaven a lot sooner if we'll just commit
yeah.
to who he is. I believe we can have a little heaven now, if you so say it that way. Yeah. But the simplicity is that he just wants you. He just wants your commitment. He yeah. wants your relationship. And in that, you're molding, and as you begin to mold into the formality of, as the church calls, the bride of Christ, as we become what Christ wants, we prepare ourselves in all different avenues, mentally, physically, emotionally. And with that contextually, we're talking about developing understanding, whether it be reading your Bible, which I think we all should be doing daily,
yeah.
and starting with the simplest of things. You know, if you don't understand your Bible, not because my name's John, but go read the book of John. John was so simple, so very direct. He's so very loving and gracious. The book of John's a great book to start, just to develop mentally how Christ saw people
yeah.
and how he saw the church. But on that, you even have to build your prayer life. You have to understand that this is a God that wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Not just, you're not just praying to the wall. You're not just praying to the light switch and that thing on the ceiling that lights up. You're praying to the Heavenly Father, and he hears you and yeah. understands you. He speaks the same language you do. Matter of fact, he already knows what you're going to say, but he wants to hear you
yeah.
begin to express what's on your heart and in your life. It doesn't matter if it's problems. You know, I make this statement a lot of times that the only time people pray is when they want something from God.
Yeah.
Hey, it's my sugar daddy in the sky. I need some help. God is not your sugar daddy in the sky. Simply, your Father wants to give you good gifts.
Yeah.
But you got to understand that it's simply understanding who he is.
Yeah.
And understanding in the context of that you have to get to know your dad. You have to get to know how to build a relationship with him. You know, my earthly father, it took me a long time to understand why he got mad when I'd run off with the wrenches that he was using on the car. For some reason, that really bent it all out of shape.
Yeah.
But I think it was because he was fixing something.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So for sure, I think we need to understand how God really just wants us.
Yeah. A lot of times when I hear that, you know, that concept of, you know, God just wants to hear us and wants to hear from us, I think back to, you know, because you and I are fathers, I've had a lot of other fathers on this podcast and I'm sure that are listening. We know what our kids are after. We know what our kids are, you know, for the most part, we know what our kids are going to ask for. We know what, you know, earlier today, you know, conversation of, you know, with my son, Sebastian, you know, it's like, well, what do you want for lunch? You know, it's like, I know what he's going to say. I know it. But it's like, as a dad, I want to hear it. You know, I know something's bothering him and frustrating him, I know I could just, you know, take care of it or console him, whatever. But it's like, I want to hear him say it. I want to hear him ask for help. You know, I want to hear him tell me that he had a good day at school. I want to, you know, that he went to the zoo and here's something really cool that he saw at the zoo. It's like, I know there's cool stuff at the zoo. I know you learn stuff at school. I still want to hear it. I want to know about it. You know?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what a lot of us forget about the simplicity of God. You know, that it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. What you said earlier about like the simple steps to build your prayer life, you know, that it can start with something as simple as good morning, Jesus. And then after that, after taking that pause and just saying, okay, that's where I'm at right now. I'm at step one. I'm at step one, block one. This is where I'm at, but this is what I can build on. And it can be that simple.
And God, I'm telling you right now, the Father honors that. He will pull you. He will pull you along with that. You know, it's kind of like you might start off good morning, and before you know it, you're at lunchtime. You're saying, "Well, good afternoon, you know, Father." You know, or you lay your head down at night. It's good night, Father. You know, he'll pull you along before you know it. You're having long conversations on the car ride to work, and people thinking you're crazy, and you're getting blessed all at the same time.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people thinking I'm crazy. So I'm like, you know, some people think I look scary. So I'm okay with them thinking I'm crazy. I'm okay with that. Yeah. You know, I sometimes feel odd because, you know, for those of you that know, you know, I'm going on this journey of training a dog to be my service dog. And it's like, they're like, oh yeah, when you're walking, you know, just talk to it. Just talking. You know, always, you know, hey, with me, you know, hey, feel, heal, focus. And it's like, I feel like I'm constantly talking to this dog. And they're like, you're building trust. And it's like,
hey,
that's what we got to do with God.
Yeah. God.
Okay.
You got it. Right there it is. God's waiting for you to interact with him on the lowest of levels and the highest of levels, yeah. Too. That is how simple it is.
Yeah. And it does. I'll say it's frustrating on a personal level. Because I know for me, I'm not going to speak for everybody. For me, it feels like I should be doing more. I should be further along. I know that's really dangerous word to say, you know, that I should, but it's, I discount the simple in my life when I shouldn't, because I feel like I should be farther along. It's like, I can't get away from that word. I know it's dangerous. I know it's bad. You know, because I've been a Christian for over a decade now. And there are parts where I feel like I'm still at the baby steps, but I'm looking at the steaks. I'm looking at the meat, and I'm like, that's where I want to be. That's the meal that I want to be sitting down and having a talk with my Father over that meal.
What if I told you that in your life, the entire time growing up, your father, earthly father, heavenly father, whatever, has molded you into a hammer, made you a hammer, and you were designed to drive nails.
Yeah.
And you come along and you come across the screw. Well, you and I both know you're not going to hammer a screw in, at least not successfully, not pretty, right?
Right.
So you've been molded to be a hammer. You've been molded to drive, strike things in.
Yeah.
And with that context, you know how that works. Okay, if I do this, this goes in. If I do this, this moves forward. If I do this, I accomplish this goal.
Yeah.
But now you're in a step in your life where God's saying, okay, here's your first screw.
Yeah.
You've got a hammer.
Yeah.
Okay, God, you've given me the hammer. You've made me a hammer.
Right.
That's a screw.
Yeah.
You called it a screw, Father. How do I put that in?
Yeah.
And God's saying, now I want to mold you to where you can do that.
Hmm.
So as you're changing in your life and changing in your walk, God's making you into the tool to meet your goal, your purpose, and position where you are.
Yeah.
It's no different than any relationship. And I know this is not necessarily in the context of in men's deal, but mothers and fathers, you know, raise their daughters up and we're making them into something that should be pliable in the hands of their spouse, their husband.
Yeah.
We're teaching them to be good wives. But in our world today, we make them drivable like a nail,
yeah.
You know, and we're teaching our men or our boys to be like hammers,
yeah.
You know. So we have to learn how to use the right tool and be simple about it. God's given us a screw now.
Yeah.
He's saying, okay, now let me mold you to put this in.
Yeah.
Now, are you ready to be molded into this position? And sometimes we have to step back and go, okay, God, I'm a hammer.
Yeah.
You've given me a bucket of screws now. Now, what do I do with this so that I can have my steak?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's timely. It's okay. You want to reshape who I am as a person. Because
yeah.
We talked about being men.
Yep.
We like to swing a sword. We like to fight.
Yes, we do.
We like to drive. Men are good at this. I mean, every man out there listening right now knows what it means to fight and push and shove it down.
Yep.
You know, we've all spilled a little blood to understand. But at the same time, now God's saying, okay, you've done this. Now let me give you the tool that's going to put this into position.
Yeah.
Now what that takes is you have to humble yourself enough and lower your concept of how you've always done it, keeping it simple and say, okay, God, it's A, I admit that I'm not the right tool in this spot.
Yeah.
B, I believe you are going to make me the tool I need to be. And C, I'm committed to driving those screws in properly, that I will not damage the piece.
Yeah.
So who wants to be a screwdriver?
Right. See, you're saying this, and all of a sudden in my mind, I'm like, so the one who's been walking with the Lord, I don't want to say the longest, but one that has greatly matured in their walk with the Lord and has mastered some of these, they have now become the ultimate multi-tool for the kingdom.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Yes, you know, I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Because we all have skills and talents, and God develops new things in us all the time.
Yeah.
You become multifaceted in different ways, and sometimes we take out the wrong tool.
We do, yeah.
I don't know about you, but I've said things to people sometimes in the wrong attitude.
Yep.
And it looked like a saw that just devastated a relationship. And maybe it wasn't my mouth I needed to use, but it may have been my arms that I needed to wrap around somebody and say, hey, I love you, and let's get through this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think in some ways, I think the longer you're in the Lord, you learn to operate, and, yeah, you become a tool, man. You become a multi-tool. I like that. We're going to preach that.
Yeah.
I like that.
You're welcome. Yeah. But it is, and it's that, you know, and you said it, it's that humbling. It's that willingness, that trust that we have in God to mold us into that other tool, to mold us into what it is for the next stage in our life, for the next leg of the journey, you know, because it's, you know, at one phase, we might need to be the one that's in front talking and leading people, and the next leg of the journey, we might need to take a back seat and, you know, not even be the advisor in the wings, but just, you now get to be an observer. You now get to just watch and participate, you know, and how well do we listen, and how well do we embrace that simplicity of the relationship with God? You know, I was talking with you earlier about, you know, how a lot of times as men and this Christian walk, we think of ourselves as warriors and we're ready for battle and, you know, put on the full armor of God. And, you know, we've got the sword of truth, you know, is it the sword of truth? I forget. I don't have it memorized. You know, the sword that's sharper than the word that's as sharp as a two-edged sword, you know, and I'm mixing a lot of things.
Yo, but you're good. You're on it. You're good.
You know, so it's like, so it's war. It's, you know, we all imagine ourselves as David, you know, taking down Goliath and cutting his head off after we've hit him with the sling. And, you know, the story of David, you know, I went and collected, was it 200 foreskins of the Philistines so that I could marry Michael?
I believe so, yeah.
You know, poor guy that had to count and verify that, yep, there's 200 foreskins in there. You know, but what if instead of a warrior on the front line, we're now in a season where we need to be a watchman in a wall? You're now pulling night shift. I need you to watch the horizon and make sure nothing happens.
For sure. And we were talking about that, you know, that sometimes, you know, as men, we fight so hard and we're not willing to change from the hammer to the next tool, or
yeah,
we think, well, we need to be, you know, using our sword. And when there's nothing to fight, when we've reached a plateau or maybe coming up on a mountaintop or something, you know, a lot of men have imploded. A lot of men have inflicted a lot of injury on themselves,
yeah,
in those moments because they feel like, well, I have nothing to fight. Yeah. I am the problem. I am the issue. I am the problem here. And so, you know, they're not able to stand still.
Yeah.
You know, and I know a lot of people right now would throw all the scripture at you and say, okay, the Bible says this, you know, yeah, this is the word that says, you know, do this and you have to do this to succeed. Yes, there is scripture. Yes, there is truth in that. But you have to accept it and commit to it at heart that you're willing to stand firm till the end.
Yeah.
If God says, I want you to stand in this spot till death. I mean, Peter, all the disciples, you know, when they said, well, what's going to happen to John? You know, if the rest of us are going to be, killed, what about him? And he said, yeah, oh, well, what's it to you if he lives the rest of eternity? You know, what does it matter to you? He's mine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Luke, if I have to stand on a wall in one spot for the rest of my life, am I happy with that?
Yeah.
See, we have to commit to that decision to, am I okay with just watching the horizon, keeping peace?
Yeah.
And not swinging a sword? Am I okay, you know, if it be that God would put me in the, you know, INT, the infants and toddlers room, and changing diapers or something? Yep. Am I okay as a man being stuck in a place, you know, and I say stuck, and that's probably not the right word, but yeah, feeling as if I'm stuck in a spot, not at war, but coddling, or,
yeah,
you know, we have to find a place where we say, okay, God, I'm willing to be humble, that I don't necessarily have to be on the front line, but I can be in the back here praying and, yeah, pushing and holding up the hands of another that's in this. You know, so, you know, firstly, we got to be satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, I think simple is really about firstly being satisfied.
Yeah.
And finding importance where you are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You're saying satisfied, and I'm also thinking content.
Oh, yeah, content.
You know, because it is. And you know, you're talking about, you know, taking care of babies and just, you know, interceding and all for people. And, you know, how many people think, well, if I don't have a microphone or if I'm not talking in front of a group of people, then I'm not fulfilling my destiny, or I'm not fulfilling my calling on God or on my life. And it's like, that's, you know, that I think so often that's a self-imposed calling. You know,
I would agree. You know, when, man, I'm all get off on. Yeah, you're looking at me and smiling because I'm going, oh God, you know, how do I touch this? You know, if you're listening right now and you think you need a microphone and you think you need a position in a church, let me tell you right now, you're not called to ministry at all.
Yeah.
Because if you're called to ministry, you're going to be out on the highways and the byways, and you're going to preach the gospel no matter where you are. You know, in any church, any place, God is a loving enough God. It don't matter where you are.
Yeah.
That's how simple the gospel is. You got saved through the simplicity of the love of God, and if you truly are committed, you're going to take that simplicity of the gospel to the next person.
Yeah.
And that's making disciples. Jesus said that. He says, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples."
Yeah.
And if you think you need a platform or a microphone or a TV program, you missed it.
Yeah. And you know, I'll say that's one of those scriptures that I feel so many people get tweak it just enough in the wrong way.
Oh yeah.
You know, because it says go make disciples, not make everyone a disciple and force them to become Christian.
Well, it doesn't mean to force everybody to be like you.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, but it's, you know, but again, it's one of those things that it's like, what was it? Few months ago, I was downtown Kansas City, and there was somebody on a street corner yelling at people.
And I bet they had a sign saying,
I don't think he had a sign, but he had one of those little portable microphone and speakers and, you know, yelling at people, telling people how wrong they are, telling people how corrupt they are. And it's like, how is that? How does that make disciples? How is that preaching the word of God? You know, I know I haven't read the whole Bible cover to cover, but of what I've read, no man of God, unless God said, go do this to this person, but nobody has said, shouted to a whole crowd, you're bad people, and now you need to follow me.
Humiliation is not a good way to get this thing accomplished. I think we need to go out in love, you know.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean I accept, you know, everything and everybody, you know, where they are? Well, of course not.
Right.
You know, I tell people this is probably the wrong way to put it, but I hate your sin.
Yeah, yeah.
I despise your sin.
Yeah.
But you know what? I love you enough to tell you about it, but I sure ain't gonna use no megaphone.
Right.
You know, I don't find that in scripture.
Yeah.
You know, if I can't win you by love and win you by the grace of God and bring you in, I'll tell you the truth of this, you know, the deal. I'll tell you what the outcome will be if you don't know the Father, but I'm not going to stand on a street corner. I've won a lot more people to Jesus by telling them about how good he is and how much he loves you and how sweet heaven is and, you know, how we have so much more to live for than die. So, yeah.
I mean, again, even my story of I came to be a Christian just from the simplicity of a friend. You know, somebody was a friend. You know, they didn't try to tell me how sinful I was. They didn't try to tell me how much I needed to repent because of my past. You know, they didn't, you know, try to cram a whole bunch of Bible verses down my throat. They were my friend. And eventually it got to the point where I was like, I want to be like that. I want whatever he has. I'm gonna go check out church.
He managed his relationship not only with his father, but with you.
He did.
And he did it practically.
He did. And I will forever be grateful to him. You know? And he's a great guy. One day I might try to get him on this podcast. And that would be fun. But I think we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up or work towards wrapping it up. I heard a joke once that, you know, charismatic preachers, they get like something like two or three conclusions to their message, but I'm not gonna try to do that because I don't like counting when I'm talking through stuff. Any final thoughts?
Well, as I was working through this acronym of SIMPLE, you know, as we were talking about doing this, we should be satisfied in who Christ is in us.
Mm.
Be important and be important to those around us. Be managed with our relationship with God, manage it with Him, and manage our relationship with others. Be practical in how we demonstrate our relationship. Lasting. Make sure that what we do is lasting. This podcast, anything that we do for the Lord, be it lasting.
Yeah.
And finally, make it easy.
Yeah.
You know, keeping it simple, Superman. Yeah, so, yeah. so, yes, let's use the KISS effect and let's keep it simple.
Yeah. Because that's what it comes down to. It is. We said it on this episode. You know, we do so much to make a simple walk complicated. And a lot of it boils down to the conversations in our own heads. But we keep it simple. You know, we keep our eyes on the Father, and we just do the baby steps. And just because we're doing baby steps doesn't mean we can't eat steak and we can't become that screwdriver.
Amen. Be the tool God wants you to be.
Amen. All right, guys. Until next week, stay fit, be well.